Exodus 25 and verse 23, thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of 1 handbreadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers or cups thereof, and bowls thereof to cover. The margin says, to pour out withal. Of pure gold shalt thou make them, and thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. The book of Leviticus chapter 24. Reading at verse 5. Leviticus 24 and verse 5. And thou shalt take fine flour, and bake 12 cakes thereof, 2 tenths deals shall be in 1 cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. You'll notice it doesn't say you'll set them in 2 piles. Some brethren think that these were one on top of the other, you know. Whereas you'll see from my little chart there, I have them side by side. And some pictures do make them as being piles. He doesn't call them a pile here. It simply says, thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath day he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant, and it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. Now may the Lord grant his blessing once again to the reading of his good and precious word. We come to the second vessel. I'm just trying to see what time I've got to finish, you see, that's it. But I'll be all right, I hope. We come to the second vessel now, child of God. We want to take a look at this table. I notice the ark, of course, is in the holy place, in the holiest of all. The ark and the mercy seat is in the holiest of all. And the table is in the holy place. But we shall look at that as we go, I trust. Just where it's situated in the tabernacle. I've encircled a lovely word here in verse 23. In verse 23 says, thou shalt also make a table. And I never forget again, as I'm studying these things, there are things that just warm my heart. And I'm very, very thankful, child of God, that the scripture here says, thou shalt also make a table. You see, God didn't want to dwell in solitary confinement. The thought behind the ark and the mercy seat, as we have seen, the person and work of our Lord Jesus. It is God coming out to take his place amongst us. But God didn't want to dwell in solitary confinement. God wanted a table. For that table, child of God, is a place where you are going to be brought in. It's a place where I'm going to be brought in. For God wanted us brought in before him. And I'm very thankful that the very next vessel that the tabernacle brings before us is, thou shalt also make a table. And I couldn't help but think of the fact that God, in his grace, he wants to bring me into fellowship with himself. I cannot help but think, when I look at these two things here, how that we're in the Epistle of John. You know, dwelling in the light of that lampstand. But as we dwell in the light of that lampstand, he's talking about the fact that we have fellowship one with another. There was fellowship amongst the saints, because these 12 loaves would speak, of course, of the 12 tribes of Israel as they're brought in. But then there's also fellowship, as having fellowship one with another, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And God just longed that the saints of God might be brought near into fellowship with him. And a high place and privilege that you have, child of God, as you've been brought into the place of fellowship. The table, of course, is a place of fellowship. I love the table. We have a rather big table at home. I suppose you've got to have a big table when you've got 9 children, unless you have 2 or 3 sittings. but we always wanted one sitting. So we used to have, we still have, a big table. We have a big farmhouse table. It's one of these things that you can crank out and you can put a couple of leaves into it. The only trouble is, if you happen to be sat at that end, you're squashed by the wall there, and if you happen to be at this end, you're squashed by the wall there. But you'll get round the table. And I must confess, one of the choicest things in my house is the table. You see, I'm away an awful lot of time. I want to tell you, I don't like being away. I would not go away for any other master. How some of you men that might have jobs that take you all over the place go on, I just don't know. I would have to get a new job. You see, I'm like that man that says, I love my wife. I love my children. I will not go out free. And there's no way any other master or any other job would take me away from my wife and my children. But I love them, and love them very, very dearly. And one of the hard things, I suppose, of serving God is just the fact that I'm away for so long, and I'm away for so often. I'm only going to go home for just over 2 weeks, and I've got to be away again for about another 6 weeks or so, or 7 weeks, I think. And I was complaining to my wife, she said, my dear, just look on the right side, at least you'll be home for 2 weeks. So I don't know whether it's the bright side or not, you know, but nevertheless, I will be home for a couple of weeks. But you know, at home, most of our meetings, they begin on a Saturday. And I would go to an assembly maybe for a Saturday night meeting, and then they would ask me if I would stay for a week or perhaps 2 weeks of ministry. So that's invariably what we do. And I'll be home on a Thursday night, my car is packed when I go to the hall. And once that meeting is over, if they don't come to me very quickly, I go to them. And I just, good night, lovely to see you, bye, see you again, thanks very much for your fellowship, I'm off. But every minute to me is a mile. And every mile is very precious. If I've got 200 or 300 miles to run, I want to get home. I might not get home until 1 o'clock in the morning. But 1 o'clock in the morning, usually my wife comes out to meet me on the driveway. At least she used to do that. I think she does still most of the time, you know. We get a wee cuddle before we go into the house. I enjoy that now. But then, obviously, she takes my washing great these days, isn't it? Goes straight into the machine and she does her washing while she's asleep. It must be wonderful. You know, my mother used to have to slave over it. But she doesn't. So she does her washing while she's asleep. And then we go up to bed. So you know, before I go to bed, I must go in to see the children. And I'll go into the rooms and I'll give those wee girls of mine, I am the boys, I'll give them a wee kiss. If they woke up, oh, their arms will go around my neck and give me a big squeeze. One of the joys of having children, you see. When you get it 9 times over, it's nice. And I get a big squeeze. But that's all I'd see of them. The next morning, I might put a tracksuit or something over my pyjamas to take them to school, because I don't want to get up too early. And again, I don't see them. But I tell you, I always used to look forward to a Friday night. The Friday night, the table was set. And Friday night, my children as olive plants were around that table. And that was a place of fellowship. I could just talk with them. I could enjoy their company. I could ask them, have you gone on during the week? Hold it, son. He's talking. I'm just holding down a wee bit now, and you can have your turn in a minute. But I used to love that table. For the table was a place of fellowship. And child of God, that's exactly what this table speaks of. It speaks of fellowship. And God wants your fellowship. God wants my fellowship. God wanted a table. And that's why he says here in verse 23, thou shalt also make a table. I have a little note in my Bible. I don't have too many notes, but I have a few in my Bible. And in the little notes in my Bible, I have a little note of things of how we get to the table. But I remember, child of God, the Bible, it would talk of the fact of the Queen of Sheba, how she got to the table. Do you remember? It's when she came to the table and she saw the sitting of his servants and so on. It's then that she said, no more spirit in her. But what she saw was the glory of Solomon. And that's what caused her to move. Child of God, I do bless God. that we have been brought in now to see and behold something of the glory of our God. We've been brought into fellowship that we might see something of his glory. Do you remember Mephibosheth? He got to the table too. The man that was lame on both his feet. He got to the table. And the Bible tells me that David, he didn't like lame people. But he's going to bring them in. And his deformity is going to be under the table. And his deformity is not going to be seen, is it? But child of God, it wasn't glory that brought him in. It was grace that brought him in. And I can't help but thank God again that if I'm going to get a glimpse of his glory, the only ground that brings me to that table is the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that brings me there. Are there any of the house of Saul? Oh, and I hear the plea and the cry going from heaven as God longed to see me and to bring me in and bring me into the place of blessing. Do you remember the prodigal? Child of God, it wasn't glory, it wasn't grace, was it? It was love that brought him there. That wastrel. But thank God for the Father's eye and the Father's heart. And the moment the movement came for him to come out of the far country, it seems he didn't have to go very far because the Father ran to meet him. You know, somebody read the translation and he said he fell on his neck and kicked him. Well, maybe that's what he ought to have done now. But he didn't. He fell on his neck and kissed him. And it was love that brought him to the table. Do you know what's bringing you to the table, child of God? Bless God. The grace of God brings you there. The glory of God brings you there. Love brings you there. Do you remember the Gospel of John in chapter 12? There's a man called Lazarus. They've come to Bethany and there they make him a supper. Martha served. Lazarus sat. But child of God, it was power that brought him in, wasn't it? And it was power that brought this man to the table. God has brought you to the table. He's brought you into fellowship with himself so that we might behold his glory. But God says, in grace I brought you here. In love I brought you here. In power, divine life imparted, brings me to the table and brings me that I might be able to sit and enjoy fellowship with God. For God longed for my fellowship. I love the thoughts too with John, you know. In John, when in that upper room, it says, leaning upon Jesus' breast. You know, that word literally means to sit at meat. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? He's leaning on the breast of the Lord Jesus, sitting at meat. He's made the breast of the Christ of God his table. He's just feeding on Christ. Oh, I like that. The child of God, when God gave you a glimpse of his glory, by grace, out of deep love, by his mighty power, he brought you in. It is that we might sit there, leaning upon his breast, and child of God, that we might sit at meat, and that we might just glean something and gain something of the lovely person of our Lord Jesus. Here, the Bible says, you'll make a table. Now, there's one or two things about this table. I want you to notice, please, that table is a place of fellowship. We have seen it already, it's linked with fellowship. But that table is the place of fellowship. I want you to notice two things, child of God. God limits my fellowship. And that fellowship was limited, number one, to the table. But number two, to the holy place. And here's where God is going to bring me. When he's going to bring me into fellowship. He's going to bring me to that table. That table we'll see in a moment, Christ. As we saw earlier, Christ linking himself with his brethren. The Lord Jesus taking his place with humanity. What for? That he might uphold me. And that he might bring me in. And that he might bring me to the place of before God, child of God. Into fellowship with heaven. Without Christ I couldn't be there. But I'm upheld by Christ. And thank God it's Christ that upholds me. And brings me in. But child of God, my fellowship is limited to Christ. You see, it's the things of Christ that ought to always occupy my heart. I ought to be like John, leaning upon his breast, sitting at meat, just content with that which God has given to me. And you'll notice, please, in the holy place. For here's where God wants us to have our fellowship. Child of God, my whole life, these people, if I had these tents here again, if I had these tents, this was their life.
This was a consuming passion. If they lived out here, they dwelt in here. Didn't they? And if I live here, Child of God, I'm sitting in heavenly places in Christ. For God would lift me out of this world. He would link me with himself. And God is very jealous. There's an interesting thing now. But when you come to look at this table, I've already said 12 loaves, because there are 12 tribes. Says God, I want them all before me. Every one of these tribes, I want them in. He's not going to leave any out. There were some pretty bad ones, you know. Cephas picked up a word of mine now. As I've told about these people that are naughty. You see, we have a few naughty boys about, don't we? And a few naughty girls, you know. Child of God, there are a few naughty tribes. And I think of the likes of Dan and what they did, and Ephraim and what they did. But I'm very glad of this. My God wanted them on the table. And my God's going to have them in the table, on the table, even though they might have been a bit naughty. Can I take you to the book of Corinthians? You see, the book of Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the table of the Lord. Don't confuse it, please, with the Lord's with the remembrance of the Lord, will you? There's a vast difference between the table of the Lord in chapter 10 and the remembrance of the Lord Jesus in chapter 11. Child of God, the Lord's table is not the Lord's supper. The Lord's table is the place of fellowship. That's where God has brought you. These people were never off this table. These loaves were never off this table. Teaching me that God wants my fellowship continually. And God ever wants my fellowship. He never wants me from that table. He wants me ever linked to Christ, enjoying Christ. And he wants me enjoying the holy things of God. This is what this tabernacle teaches me now. And I come back to the book of Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, I'm very glad I discovered in Corinthians chapter 10, there's a loaf there, you know. Some of the brethren get a wee bit confused between Corinthians 10 and Corinthians 11, because they both speak of a cup and they both speak of a loaf. But I notice in Corinthians 10, the cup comes first. I notice in Corinthians 10, the bread comes second. I notice in Corinthians 10, the cup is the cup of blessing. Child of God, that loaf, not Christ, but you and me. We, being many, are one loaf. And if Israel is represented by a loaf, Corinthians 10 tells me that you and I are represented in a loaf too. But we can only come into that relationship because of the mighty work of the Lord Jesus as a result of the cup. So the cup is first, and it tells me now that it has brought me into a sphere of blessing, and it's brought me into a sphere of fellowship. But child of God, in Corinthians 10, I'm at that table every day of the week. I only remember the Lord Jesus on the first day of the week. But you're never away from the table. The day you got saved, God brought you to the table. The day that you got saved, God made you part of that one loaf. And God says you're now in fellowship with me. And I want you to go back to Corinthians 10. For you see, in Corinthians 10, God turns around and calls himself a jealous God. You know what jealousy is, don't you? No, it's not envy. There's a vast difference between envy and jealousy. Envy wants what somebody else is, you know. And if I envy this man's tie there, that means that I want his tie. Man, you must admit I've got one or two wet ties that way. Like your tie, bro, that's fine. Take it with you. No, don't give it to me now, please. I've no shirt to go with it. I've no shirt to go with it, so don't... What sort of colour is it? Excuse me. Forgive me. There we are. But if I were to envy that means I want somebody else's. But jealousy, child of God, watches over its own. And God says, I'm a jealous God. I watch very jealously over my wife. There's no sin in that. She's mine. Don't you dare touch her. You'd have me to deal with. And let me tell you, when I get rough, I can be rough. I try not to be now. I'm thankful for the grace of God, and I try to be a gentleman if I can. But child of God, jealousy watches over its own. Corinthians 10. The table. Oh, not 12 loaves now, but one loaf. For you see, in this day and dispensation, God ever sees the saints of God as a compound unit. That body, that bride, that loaf. We're all linked, child of God, in the same thing, aren't we? But God has brought me to the table, and God has brought me into fellowship, and God tells me in Corinthians 10, I'm a jealous God. Do you know what it's against the background of? The saints at Corinth were linking with things they should never have been linked with. They were linking themselves with idols' temples. They were taken up with things that were not divine. They were taken up with things that were opposed to what was of God. And thereby God turns around and says, I'm a jealous God. See where I brought you? I brought you to Christ. I've linked you to Christ. It's Christ that upholds you before me. You see where you're enjoying fellowship? Or don't be taking your fellowship anywhere else. That's simply what it means, you know. The child of God, God wants your fellowship, but God's not prepared to share your fellowship with another. If his glory has been made known to you, if grace has reached out to you, if the love of God has been set upon you, if the power of God has been demonstrated in you, and if you've been linked to the lovely person of our Lord Jesus, and God by his grace now brings you right into the holiest, that you might be able to worship him, child of God, whatever you do, please, just remember the place that God has brought you to, and remember that this is the fellowship God wants, and make that the desire of your heart too, that you might enjoy fellowship with him, and like John, just lean on his breast, and find that this is everything to your soul. I tell you, your soul will be thrilled if you can just leave everything else alone and just be taken up with God and taken up with Christ and taken up with the things of Christ. For that's what God wants from you. And I tell you, that's what the table tells me. One or two things about it. There's one thing again. If God brought these people in, child of God, they could never lose their fellowship. They could never lose it. We might do a few things, you know, that we ought not to do. I'm again in the Epistle of John. Sin, child of God, from my point, on my side, it hinders the fellowship from my side. You see, I know that if I fail God, things are not right. I need to put things right. And I need to be right if I'm going to enjoy fellowship. But child of God, I can never lose that fellowship. Never, ever lose my fellowship. Never. That's why this book tells us about these crowns. For those crowns, you see, are to bind, to secure. And I notice, strange enough, with this table here, there are two crowns. There's one crown here that binds my redemptive work together and makes sure that I cannot lose my salvation, for there are two crowns here. There's one, child of God, and I take it that the object of that was just to hold the bread in place. You see, there are staves here too, aren't there? There are rings here. The principles that we saw here, they abide here too. For these rings would tell me again that my fellowship is eternal. Once I've been brought in, child of God, I'll never lose that fellowship. These staves would tell me the same as this here. The only difference is, if I'm carrying Christ, when I come to look at this, I'm carrying you. And wherever I go, I take you. I used to think I was only in fellowship, you know, when I came to the meetings. When I was enjoying divine service. But then the fellowship ceases when you go through the door and we get on with our mundane things of life. Child of God, that table went with them everywhere they went. Just as the ark went with them everywhere they went. And if you're carrying Christ everywhere you go, let me tell you, you're taking me everywhere you go. And if I've got to be careful where I take Christ, will you please be very careful where you take me? Because there are some places I don't want to go to. And I certainly wouldn't want to come with you. There's a lady at home from New Stevenson in Scotland. Village or two down from where Jim McCall came from. Speaking to her one day as going around the village tracting. She came from a gospel hall. I was with the gospel assembly, the assembly hall. In a wee bit of a division, you know. Sad things, divisions. Sad things. One brother told me an assembly in every village in Lanarkshire. He said, in some of them there's two, Norman, and one's usually a war memorial. Very sad things. When brethren can't move in harmony and unity, one with another, but I'm getting away. But I didn't know this lady, you see, because she was in the gospel hall. The assembly hall, they were a little stricter than the gospel hall. But I went to speak with her, and a lovely old soul. And she got talking, and she was telling me of the time when the rain was pouring down. And they were caught in it. And she and another sister, they were going past the cinema, which had a great big canopy over it. And as the rain came, the sister, "Quick! Let's run to the shelter of the cinema," she said. "Nay," she said, "my godly feet have gone nowhere near the place." Isn't that amazing? I was talking to a sister recently. She was going to London. And she told me she was going to a show. Plenty of assemblies, plenty of ministry. A good word of God. A Christ to lean on his bosom. And enjoy things precious. But they were going to a show. And let me tell you, child of God. In some respects, she was taking me. Because sadly, we're always in fellowship one with another. And wherever you go, remember you're bearing the testimony. You're bearing the saints. For you're never out of fellowship. You're always linked to Christ. And you're always linked to the saints. And whatever you do, you're linked with them. We need to be careful, you know, don't we? But oh, if only we'd got desires for God. And if only we'd desires for Christ. If he was everything to us. Let me tell you, the things of earth would grow strangely dim. Wouldn't they? In the light of his glory and grace. Oh, if I could only get a glimpse of that lovely man. If I could understand it, here it's this man that's upholding me. If I was to understand the place that I'm in now, as God has brought me into the heavenlies, and link where Christ is. For remember Ephesians 1, he's in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2, I'm in heavenly places. I'm far above this world. I'm linked to Christ. And I need, child of God, to take this lovely man, I need to take the things of Christ very seriously. And to recognize the place of my fellowship. But let me tell you, no matter where I go, no matter what I do, just like some of those naughty tribes, I can never lose my place. On the march, the object of that first crown was so that whatever happened, if a man stumbled a bit, those loaves are not going to fall off. And thank God, child of God, you can never lose your soul. You can never lose your salvation. You're absolutely secure, and you're secure eternally. And I'm very thankful here that there were two crowns on it. And the one crown had to be a hand's breadth between the other. So the distance between here and here was a hand's breadth. And you know, I can't help but think of the book of John in chapter 10. And I'll never forget, even as a young laddie of 12, a man was very anxious that I should get saved. I went to Sunday school, you see, till I was about 12. And dear Mr. Todd, he suddenly decided I should get saved. So he asked me if I'd go and see him at his home on the following Monday evening. I went to see him at his home. It must have been a very pleasant evening. I'm sure it must have been September because the apples were out on the trees. I know that because I took my brother and I took my cousin with me when I went to see Mr. Todd. And whilst he was talking to me and trying to lead me to Christ, they were stealing the apples off his trees. And when they got outside, they got pocketfuls of apples. So I know it must have been September, you see. But Mr. Todd, he shoo these boys away. He just wanted to talk to me. And I'll never forget, as he started to bring me John 3 and verse 16, and telling me how that Christ had died for me, and Norman, you need a saviour. And Norman, will you not bow and ask the Lord Jesus to save you? Well, yes, Mr. Todd, I'd better do that. You want me to do that, so I'd better do that. And as a lad of 12, I got on my knees, and he said, I'll pray first, and he prayed. And then I got on my knees, and I prayed. And I thanked the Lord for Mr. Todd saving me. Before I could get, no, get up here, you've never understood it. He went through it all again. It's the Lord that saves you, I haven't saved you. Get back on your knees now and thank the Lord for the Lord saving you. So I did what he told me. And I got back on my knees. And I thanked the Lord for saving me. Child of God, I wasn't saved. But I'll never forget this, what he did teach me. He taught me John chapter 10. And he taught me about the two hands, you know. My sheep are in my hand. And I'm in my, I can see him now. Little fella. But I never forgot that truth. And let me tell you, from the day I got saved, I've rejoiced in that. I didn't get saved until 4 years later or so. Having left that Sunday school, got away from it all. But came back when God started to move with me. But never forgot, child of God, the double hand grip. For we're in the hand of our Lord Jesus. And he's in his Father's hand. I went to the Pentecost once, you know. They believe you could be saved today and lost tomorrow. They'd never learnt the truth of this table. They told me that if I didn't keep it up, then I could lose my salvation. And when I told them what Mr. Todd told me about me being in the Lord's hand and he in his Father's hand and there's a double grip, that's what they told me. No, you can't fall out, but you can walk out. Let me tell you, I'm going to speak to these young folks here now. When my Lord saved you, he put it in his hand, and let me tell you, it's too powerful for you to walk out. And he's in his Father's hand, and let me tell you, the mighty, omnipotent power of heaven is too great for you ever to lose your place. Thank God that he's linked with the table. There are two crowns. Two securities. You're saved and you're eternally saved and you can never lose it and you'll never lose your fellowship. No, I might do things I shouldn't do. I might still be a bit naughty at times. I might fail my God. I might hang my head in shame. There might be times, according to the Epistle of John, when I've got to come back and get back on my knees again and confess my sins. And then to know that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Confession brings forgiveness. I'm very thankful that I know in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, I'm very thankful, child of God, that if we sin, we have an advocate. Not if we confess our sins, but the moment sin comes in, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. All that I'm not, he is. And bless God, he is the one that meets my need in heaven's courts, that my sin doesn't come there. From the divine standpoint, child of God, sin never rises to heaven. It's me that feels it. And I've got to put the matter right if I'm going to enjoy the fellowship. But let me tell you, I can never lose that fellowship. That's mine. Do you remember these four legs? Well, it tells me here you'll put the rings beneath the 4 feet. The four corners that run to the 4 feet. Do you know what's upholding me, child of God? There are four good things that are going to uphold me eternally before the throne. That I can never lose it. And all I can think of, when I think of those four things, I can only think of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of our Lord Jesus. And my whole fellowship, child of God, based upon his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. And here he is, upholding me on the grounds of that mighty work that he's accomplished. And child of God, I can never, ever lose it. That's one thing I want to put before your mind this morning. And to know that your salvation is absolutely secure and it doesn't depend on you. And it doesn't depend on what you do. And no matter what Dan might do, no matter what Ephraim might do, bless God, they never lost their place at the table. Telling me that you can never lose your place. God has brought you in. But God doesn't want you anywhere else. He's a jealous God.
He watches over his own. He's not prepared to share you with another. Since he brought you in, he just wants you taken up with the things of God and enjoy them, and to enjoy them immensely before him. Now, there's an interesting thing. When I come down to verse 30, he's going to tell me what I must put upon that table. It says in verse 30, thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. Showbread. Do you know what that word means? It's used in the New Testament. I should have looked up some notes before I came, and then I'd get the details exactly right. I'm not sure whether it's 9 or 11 times it's used in the New Testament, child of God. I should know, but, you know, I've got a good forgettery. But I know it's used at least 9 and maybe 11 times in your New Testament, that word showbread. It's the word that is used in connection when the Lord speaks about David. Have you not heard what David did when he took of the showbread? That must have been very pointed, you know, to those men. For David took that showbread from the temple when he was a man in rejection. Didn't he? He was being persecuted. And maybe that could have gone home to those Pharisees, those scribes. For my blessed Lord was a man in rejection when he told about David taking the showbread. But it's the same word in Hebrews 9 when it talks about the fact of this table upon which was the showbread. But that word showbread literally means the bread of presence. But elsewhere in your New Testament, child of God, and I do know this, I'll not forget it, 5 times over, it's ever linked with purpose. And it's linked with the purpose of God. 5 times over, I see it linked with purpose. I notice in my New Testament, the book of Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 9, when it talks about Jacob and Esau, and the election that was theirs, that the purpose of God might stand. And here it's the purpose of God. And it brings with you and me, child of God, in divine purpose. And the purpose of God toward us, a purpose that was eternal in character. And the purpose of God was that I should be here. This is the bread of purpose. This is the bread of presence. And says God, the eternal counsel have decreed that we should be before him. Well, that's the expression there, isn't it? Before me always. That's where God wants you. Have I got 5 minutes? I have, haven't I? Yeah. I think I've started 10 to. That's it. Come to the book of Leviticus chapter 24 for a moment, will you? Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24 is going to bring me something about that showbread. But you notice the first thing, please, when you come to verse 5 of Leviticus 24, thou shalt make fine flour. That's lovely now. Do you know the offerings? Do you remember what they brought to God in that meal offering? They were to bring fine flour, not refined flour. But fine flour. You bring it what it really is. When we come to the meal offering, child of God, that fine flour is Christ. You didn't need to refine him, did you? You need to refine me now. One brother said to me many years ago, Norman, we're still trying to knock the corners off. An awful lot of roughness with me, you see. And that fine flour had no roughness. Hard lumps in that. Plenty in me. Probably a few in you too, I'm not too sure, but probably there are a few in you and me. But child of God, absolute perfection with the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. But you look at this here. These loaves speak of you. These loaves speak of me. But child of God, they speak of us from the divine point. And God sees us as he has made us fine flour. For you see, we've taken on the character and person of our Lord Jesus. And when God would have us before him, why? He sees us now, not in all our sin, not in all our folly. He sees us now on redemption ground, and he sees us with the workings of Christ,
Oh, that lovely verse in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, he hath perfected forever. That was a great verse to me. I used to get very troubled, you know, and very distressed of all these failures of mine. Once thinking I was going to leave, well, told one of the sisters, I'm leaving the meeting. There'll be no blessing while I'm here. It wasn't because I didn't love the meetings. Nothing was because I got cold in heart. But child of God, what I was, sadly, and I was so grieved about it, that God will never bless that meeting whilst I'm in that place. I'm going to have to get out, and then perhaps the movements of God can come in, and perhaps then they'll be helped in divine things. But just while I'm there, you know, this little fly in the ointment. Ah, that dead fly's caused the apothecary's ointment to send forth a stinking savour. And I just felt that such was my life, that I was marring the whole character of God's assembly. I'm not coming back. I'm going to stay away. And then I read Hebrews 10. And what does Hebrews 10 say? He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And I suddenly learned a word. You're not a rotter, Norman. You're perfect. That's the fine flower. That's how God sees you, you know. But look again. Two tenths deal. Don't you start feeling inferior, will you? For every one of these loaves was exactly the same weight. Ah, sure, I've been saved a bit longer than these wee girls. I suppose they were even... No, they weren't born when I was saved. They're too young and beautiful for that, aren't they? Let me tell you, there's much standing before God as I have. And every one of us has as much standing before God. A child of God, this is fellowship. And let me tell you, fellowship doesn't depend on gift. And fellowship doesn't depend on ability, does it? They've all as much standing as me, whoever we are. And every one of them, two tenths deal. God made no distinctions. God doesn't give some and make them a little superior. None of these were higher than the other. Oh, that fellowship must have been very sweet, you know. They were all of the same character. They were all fine flour. They all moved in proximity to each other. They all knew the frankincense. That frankincense would tell me now of something that was very fragrant for God. Fellowship ought to be fragrant. And God wants a fragrant fellowship from you and me as we'd enjoy fellowship. We're moving in close proximity one to another, enjoying fellowship around Christ, enjoying fellowship in the holy things of God. But then take a look, please, when it tells me that, it's verse 7, you'll put frankincense on it, pure frankincense. That child of God speaking of the beautiful fragrance that fellowship ought to bring. But I love verse 8, and I've got to close. Verse 8, every Sabbath, they kept it fresh, you see. And I noticed that every Sabbath, the priest and his sons, they got to eat it, in verse 9. That means they got to assimilate it and make it their own. They ate it in the holy place. Child of God, I've got to learn to enjoy this fellowship with saints and to grow from it and to get strength from it. But that's what eating will do, won't it? Oh, I tell you, if we could only rise to what these things are teaching us, my, it'd make us something for God, and it'd make our fellowship something for God too. But there's just one more further thing. Verse 8. Every Sabbath day he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. And isn't that answer again to chapter 25 of Exodus? Before the Lord. Lovely, isn't it? So remember when God chose you in eternal purpose. I'm being very deliberate in my statements there, by the way. When God chose you in eternal purpose, listen to it. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. And that word is literally face to face. And God put his hand on you folks and drew you out. He says, I want your fellowship and I want you before me. Order those loaves before me. And just a lovely thing, you know, to just for you to be in the presence of God and to enjoy Him. What He chose before the foundation of the world, one day, we're going to be there eternally, holy, and without blame. The fine flower, the 2/10 steel, and child of God, no fault, no flaw. For what has begun now is going to go on eternally. May God bless you.